You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant, biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
If you got your Bible, I want you to turn to Luke chapter 2 is where we're going to be in just a moment in verse 36. But to just tell you, man, it's so good to kick off this year, to be here in the church, to be able to start off our year with worship, which is great. Last week was awesome with Brian McCormick here from Breakaway Ministries. He did a great job. So many neat things going on in our church. So many great things. We're launching new Bible study classes that are in this hour right now in particular. So if you are here and you want to jump in and you want to come to the 9:15 worship service and then come to Life Bible Study here in this hour, just want to encourage you with that. We're also changing our 5 o'clock service to be a 4 o'clock service this afternoon. So if that works better for you as well, as we are seeing our church just grow and grow and grow, it's awesome to be able to see that. All of our services are growing. All of our places are growing, which is great. So just a couple things you want to know. God's been doing some awesome stuff. We had our senior retreat with our high school ministry this weekend. It was incredible. So many neat things going on. So as we kick off this year and get going this direction, it's going to be a great, great year. Now, when I say turn to Luke chapter 2, you might think, wait, is this a continuation of Christmas? We already did Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2 is only for Christmas time. That's the only time you can talk out of Luke chapter 2. Well, Luke chapter 2 has got even more than Christmas. And I don't know if it's like this at your house. In my house, there's a moment in time where my wife decides Christmas is over. That's when she decides. And it's not, we don't know a certain date. We don't know a certain time. I feel like in my body, it's usually about the second quarter of some football game that I'm watching, that she decides Christmas is over. Now, thankfully, after 27 years, she doesn't interrupt me in the middle of the football game to ask me to participate in making Christmas over. I just notice all these green things start coming down. All these red things start coming down. It hasn't made it into the attic again yet. It's just made it onto the dining room table. So we got right now a Christmas tree fully lit, because it's always fully lit. We buy it like that. But it only has half the ornaments on it. Just the bottom's gone, but the top's still got ornaments. That's where we are right now. And so Christmas in our house, it's done. We finished that thing. It is on. We are moving on. But here's the good news. Christmas is never over. Jesus came to planet Earth. He came here and he's with us and he wants to save our souls, wants to be with us. Christmas is never over. The decorations may come down, but the Messiah is still with us. And so I know that's your heart. That's Kelly's heart as well. But the decorations have come down. So I want to show you, though, a passage of scripture that's 40 days after Christmas. Now, we're not quite there to 40 days. But 40 days after Christmas, what the journey was, what the tradition was, is that you would take, after the birth of a son, you would take them to the temple, daughter as well, after 40 days, and you'd present them to the priest. So that's what's happening here with Jesus. So he's being taken to the temple, he's being presented, and you come and you bring an offering along with your child. So if you're wealthy or you're middle class, you bring a lamb as your offering. If you're poor, you bring 2 pigeons or 2 turtle doves. Is there a Christmas song that talks about 2 turtle doves? Well, that's the offering that you bring with your son. Mary and Joseph were poor. They brought 2 turtle doves or 2 pigeons. They didn't bring a lamb. You know why? Because Jesus was the Lamb of God. It had been a double lamb scenario right there. But it said Jesus is the Lamb of God. They come as not middle class or not wealthy people, and they bring their 2 turtle doves. I think it's kind of cool that Jesus was born into a poor family. I like that. And to be able to see that happen, so they present him. There's a guy named Simeon. He usually gets most of the attention in this, where he's been waiting at the temple. He sees the Messiah. He's blown away. But there's another lady named Anna. If you're named Anna, today is your day. You got a good name. We're going to talk about Anna. Anna is an amazing, amazing woman. Let me read to you the passage of scripture, if you'll look with me, in verse 36 of Luke chapter 2. The 2 turtle doves, if you want to know, are in verse 24. Verse 36, it says this, "And there was a prophetess, Anna, a daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was well along in years." Isn't that a nice way to say an old lady right there? Luke smart. "Having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage." So they were married 7 years. "And a widow for 84 years after he died." She's been a widow 84 years. "She did not leave the temple, serving God night and day with fasting and prayers." Let me tell you about this wonderful lady named Anna. Anna's name means grace. Her name means grace. We're going to see she's a gracious woman. It says that she's a prophetess. So like a male would be a prophet, female prophetess. There's 10 ladies in the Bible that are called prophetess. Five are found in the Old Testament. Five are found in the New Testament. Now, four out of the five in the New Testament are the daughters of Philip. So he's kind of got a run on the bank with his daughters on that. And then we've got here Anna. So five and five, Old Testament and New Testament. Now, here's what a prophetess is. A prophetess is a truth teller of God's declarations. Okay? It's not an office in the church. It isn't in the five of the Old Testament. They weren't a part of the Levitical priesthood and office of the temple. They weren't given leadership like that. In the New Testament, a prophetess is not an office of the church as well, like an elder or a deacon. And so they are a truth teller. It's based on the spiritual gifts, not on the spiritual office. So here is a good way to define it, to declare it. It means a spiritual gift of declaring and interpreting God's message. So when we hear from this lady, we're hearing truth is what I want you to know. That she knows what she's talking about. She's walking with God and she is a prophetess declaring the truth of the Lord. Not only that, she's a widow. She's a widow. Not only that, she's an old lady. She's an old lady. Now let's do some quick math and then we'll talk about her being a widow. Okay, if she was married 7 years and she's a widow 84 years, that means we got 91 years right there. So if she's going to get married in Jewish culture, you had to at least be in the teenage years to get married. So we got 91 plus whatever the teenage years are. So she is for sure over 100 years old. She's for sure over 100 years old. Now, I did a little research of the oldest woman on planet Earth, and she is 116 years old. She's in Japan. Let me show you the picture of her there. That's 95 when I guess she was pitching for the Mariners. Strong lady. Had a mean, wicked slider. So 95 then, and then 116 there, and she credited her longevity with she hiked and she walked and she was all of that sort of stuff. Now, here's the bad news. After the first service, somebody pulled me aside, Pastor, she died this week. I mean, of all the chances, I've never used this illustration ever before, and I didn't do my research after I found her. I didn't know she was going to die on the week I was using it. So I got a text message, Pastor, sorry, she died, you know, so the oldest woman now on planet Earth is sitting right over. No, just kidding. Is 116-year-old Brazilian nun, I found out. Okay, I've not checked my sources on that. But that's what I found. She was 6 days younger than this lady that just died. Okay, so Anna is an older lady, right? She's over 100 years old. And for 84 years, she's been a widow. Now, it's tough to be a widow. It's really tough to be a widow in biblical days. Your whole income was gone. Everything was taken away from you. Your status in society in that time was taken away. I mean, it was very difficult. 84 years of being a widow. And I just want you to know, just as a little side item, but to just give you a great encouragement, I just want to tell you some of the great things that we're doing as a church to be able to help our widows in our church. We're going to do the book of James beginning next week. That's going to be our semester study this week. And in James, it says this is pure and undefiled religion that you administer to the orphan and the widow. And so we do a lot of orphan ministry as well. Let me just tell you about the widow ministry that we do here because I want you to be proud of your church. We, over Christmas time, about 500 notes and Christmas cards were sent out by the ladies in our women's ministry at the Love Her and Serve Her event. 500 Christmas cards. So these ladies would get Christmas cards. We have a widow's benevolence fund that's designated to keep widows in their homes so they don't lose their homes by doing repairs that might cause them to move, like plumbing things and AC things and leaky roofs and those sort of things. Widows are being served by our church, but in particular, our deacon body is hitting a home run with this. 109 deacons are serving 1 to 3 widows each. They've all adopted a widow, at least one to three, 109 of our deacons are doing that. We have 505 widows who are in active membership in our church, 500 plus widows in our church. Some are homebound, some are here in the room with us. Hundreds of widows are being served each time we do men serve. We do that 6 times a year. And so the men of the church come and they bring their sons, many of them, and they go and they serve and they do household kind of things, helping in the yard, helping to fix things, helping these ladies in ways that they need it. So they come and they serve and they just love those ladies. And really the guys receive the blessings. I've done men serve many times. It's a blessing. They are so thankful. They typically got a bunch of iced tea for you or lemonade. They'll bake a cake for you sometime. I mean, it's a great, great relationship of being able to help in that. And so that's happening January 18th, guys, you may want to sign up. It's a blessing. We average about 175 men each time we do that, 6 times a year, that go out and make a difference. We have a car care ministry that 3 times a year we serve our widows and single moms on simple repairs and oil changes and different things like that. Our pastoral care ministry, 11 times a year we do meals and programming and entertainment and fellowship for our widows and invite them to come. We serve about 1,200 meals a year to our widows. We also have iron to iron ministry, which is for our widowers. So we minister to our widowers as well, but the passage is talking about a widow. That's why I'm centering in on the widows today. Even today, when we take the Lord's Supper in just a little bit, we always give an offering on your behalf. We won't receive an offering. It's from your giving. We're going to give to Mission Dignity, which is helping widows of small church pastors. So they didn't have a lot of retirement, didn't have a lot of income, and these widows served the Lord day and night, if you will, like Anna. And so we're going to give to Guidestone with Mission Dignity to be able to help those widows along, just to stay in theme with this message. So I just want you to know the great things that are happening. Men, I want you to know this so that you can jump in, you can pray for this, and you can get involved as well. Statistically, there will be a day that your wife will be on our church's list. How will you want her taken care of? Our widows are the most amazing ladies you could ever imagine. They are godly, they are sweet, they are encouragers to me and others. They are prayerful, they are smiley. They have gone through hard, hard things, but that hard, hard things has brought great, great joy only in the Lord as well. So I just want you to be proud of your church with that. Can we just give a cheer for our widows real quick and just let them know how much we love them? So Anna is a prophetess. She is a widow. She is an old lady. She is over 100 years old. And now let's see what kind of heart this lady has. You ready? Look in verse 37. Here's what it says. And a widow for 84 years, she did not leave the temple. Look, she did not leave the temple serving God night and day with fasting and prayer. It doesn't mean she lived at the temple. She had a cot in the back. It means that she was always there. It's like saying, man, he's always at work. She's always, at the ball field with the kids. They're always playing sports. It's that kind of euphemism is what it is. So she was always at the temple day and night. So she is a lady that loves worship and she's waiting on the Messiah to come. Jesus to come. So here's the deal. Here's our point. Write it down. You don't have any blanks to fill out. You're going to have to write a whole sentence this week. You ready? Here we go. Let's wait and worship in 2025. Let's wait and worship in 2025. Well, let's learn from Anna. She's waiting on the Lord and she's worshiping God at the temple. You know, good things, it takes a while to get good things happening. You know, today is an anniversary of something you didn't realize. January 5th, 1972, President Richard Nixon declared the vision for having a reusable rocket. They called it the Space Shuttle. 1972, Nixon declared it. Well, it didn't happen until the 80s. I remember being a little kid watching it take off in school. They rolled in the TV on the cart and watched the Space Shuttle. So all of that happened later. You had to wait. You had to wait. What's God planting a seed for you right now in January that's not going to be harvested until December? What's he planting in 2025 that won't come to fruition till 2027? Do you know that you got to wait? It's a part of Christianity. We've got to wait. What a dedication, what patience this lady had. And she was godly as well. Her godliness, she waited and she worshiped at the temple. Waited and worshiped at the temple. That doesn't mean she lived there. It just meant, and they said, Anna said, oh yeah, she's probably at the temple. She's always there. She's always at church. She's always waiting on God. She's always worshiping God. Now, This past week, I went to Passion. Kelly and I went to Passion. It was an amazing conference in Atlanta. Had a great time. Some of our Cypress kids came, and that was good to see them as well. And got to see a lot of friends. We've probably, out of 27 Passions they've had, I bet we've been to 20. I mean, I don't know how many. We've been to a bunch of them. And so it's just an amazing time, great time, lots of old friends and such. And in one of the sessions, a guy named John Tyson, who's a pastor in New York City, he talked about what makes the difference in where revival comes to one place instead of another place. We're all praying, we want revival. He said, what's the difference? He'd gone on a tour for 33 days. He went to 17 places around the world, 33 days, studying revivals, asking what made this happen. Of course, you know, prayer, yes, unity, yes, preaching the word, yes, all these things. So what was the one thing? This is what he said. I thought it was interesting. That it came to the places in which the people said, God, we want you here. We want you here. Now, I know, and he knows, that God is omnipresent. God is everywhere, right? But there's a difference in God being everywhere and God being here, right? You know, you feel that difference when you're like, the Lord is here. God is doing things here. Not just he's everywhere, he's here. And so he gave basically a difference of, the message was a great message, that Nazareth kind of pushed Jesus out and Bethany welcomed Jesus in, two villages. And this is where God did a lot of work, here in Bethany, because he said here. Here's what he said as well. Our country has said, God, we don't want you here. We don't want you in government. We don't want you in the city square. We don't want you in our morality. We don't want you here. And so he's pushing us out. And so what we've got to be is we've got to be people in our lives that say, we want you here, God. I want you here in my family. As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. I want you here, Lord, in our church. God, we want you in our city. God, we want you in our nation. God, we want you in our workplace. Students, would you pray? God, I want you in my school as you walk through the hallways of your school. God, we want you here. Do a work here in our school. Now, again, God's everywhere. I know that. I got that. But just saying, there's a moment where we said, God, I want you in my life. Anna was a lady for 84 years in fasting and prayer was saying, I want you, Lord. I want you here. I'm waiting every day for the Messiah to come. Me and Simeon are here and we're waiting for the Messiah to come. And here comes Jesus in that moment. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to have a little classwork. I got homework for you, but I also got classwork for you. Waiting and worshiping. That's what we're talking about, waiting and worshiping. We're going to take 60 seconds. We're going to just sit here in silence for 60 seconds. We're just going to wait. Just kind of put our body clock on wait. That's to be a microcosm of what the rest of this year possibly looks like in your life, of waiting on the Lord. And then I'm going to close this in a word of prayer. What I'm going to do is I'm going to give a word. I'm going to say, in our families. And then you're going to say, if you mean it with your heart, we want you here. In our marriages, we want you here. Do you see? In our kids, in our lives, we want you here. In our kids and grandkids, we want you here. In our workplaces, in our school, we want you here. So it's going to be like a little responsive prayer moment. Okay. So you can't, if I say in our families and you're like, It's like we say it. If you mean it, if you don't mean it, don't say it. Okay. This is before the Lord. We want you here. It's basically saying on earth as it is in heaven. So I want to give you a moment, 60 seconds that we're going to sit and you in your heart, you pray, you wait. And if you mean it, only if you mean it, you say, God, I want you here. I want you in my life. You could say different categories of your life, but we're just going to wait and we're going to worship. Okay? Beginning now. Father, Christianity calls us for far more waiting than 60 seconds. But we just, as a microcosm, as a thimble, as a symbolism, as a seed, just say we want this to be a marking place of our 2025, that we wait on you. We listen to you. We want you here, God. We want you here. Now, if you mean it with your heart, as I just give you a phrase, you just respond with, we want you here, or I want you here, if you'd like to personalize it even more. In our families, in our workplaces, in our schools, in our marriages, in our waiting, in my life, in our city, in our nation, in our church. Father, we just want to declare to you, on earth as it is in heaven, we know you're omnipresent, Father, but we just come and say, we want you in our lives, God. We don't want to stiff arm you for the rest of the year. We want you here. We want you involved in our businesses, our jobs, our homes, our families, our schools, our city, our nation, our state, our church. In Jesus' name, amen. She worshiped and she waited. Well, what did she do? Well, she prayed and she fasted. Let's serve God through prayer and fasting in 2025. Let's serve God through prayer and fasting in 2025. In the end of verse 37, it says, she did not leave the temple. She waited. She was serving God night and day. She worshiped with fasting and prayers. Let's serve God with prayer and fasting. You know, the Bible's filled with amazing people fasting. David fasted, Esther fasted, Elijah fasted, Daniel fasted, Nehemiah fasted, Paul, Jesus fasted. There's verses of scripture, Nehemiah chapter 1, it says, I wept and mourned for a number of days, and I fasted and I prayed before the God of heaven. Psalm 35, and they were sick, and my sackcloth and ashes was my clothing. I humbled myself with fasting, and my prayer was genuine. Joel 2, turn to me with all of your heart, and with fasting and weeping and mourning. Matthew 6, whenever you fast, don't be like the hypocrites, for they make their faces unattractive, so their fasting will be obvious to people. But I assure you, they have the reward in full. Instead, fast before your Father in secret, who rewards you in secret as well. So we know that fasting, with that verse, it says, whenever you fast. It doesn't say if you fast. It says whenever you fast. So I'm going to give you, this is what we're going to do as a church, and I'm inviting you to come along. And if you're like, I'm not doing that, that's fine. You don't have to do that. You do it whatever week you want to do it. When are you going to fast? I'm not fasting. Well, then you're in disobedience here to the scripture. Whenever you fast, then we want to say, Lord, it's between me and you. But we're going to do this here as a community as well. Here's where we are as a society. As a society, we lift up independence, autonomy, and feasting. That's what we lift up. Independence. Nobody going to tell me. Autonomy. I can do it on my own. Feasting, I'm going to get it all the time. We feast all the time. When we talk about fasting, that's why we go, because we're continually feasting. Do you know that the food size portions have increased 2 to 3 times since 1980? 2 to 3 times the food portions have increased in size. And we're still going back, right? Still going back. It's not just about food, it's about anything. We feast on entertainment. We feast on excitement. We feast on adrenaline. We feast on food. We feast on compliments. We feast on a lot of things. We're always feasting. Think about your Christmas. Was there a lot of feasting going on? The whole thing is based on when somebody going to arrive, when are we eating? That's the whole deal, right? Think of how many little, we got sweets. I mean, I've eaten 4,623 chocolate-covered pecans, right? I've just been just downing them over and over and over. And then I've thrown in a ginger snap and I've thrown in a little bit of cake and I had pie last night. I'm just all the time just feasting, feasting, feasting. So that's why it's hard to fast, because we're so used to feasting. But I want to give you this. Instead of independence, I don't need God. Instead of autonomy, I'll do it on my own. Instead of feasting, I just want more. We're never satisfied. I want to instead call us to dependence, community, and fasting. Dependence. I need God. in 2025. Whether you think you do or not, you do. You might not realize it, but you do. I need God. Dependence. Autonomy, no, I don't want that. I want community. So we're going to do this together so that we can know when I'm struggling, you'll know, I'll know you're struggling. You can pray for me and I can pray for you. We're going to do this together as a church. And then the last thing with fasting. So here's the deal. We're going to go without some things so that we can have more prayer. That's the goal. That's the exchange. It's not just willpower, go without. It's we're going to go without a few things so that we can have more prayer. Here's the way I put it. No blank, no prayer. Get it? A little play on words. No blank. And I'll show you what the blanks are in a minute. No prayer. Okay? Because here's what fasting does. Before I tell you about what we're going to do, let me give you a couple things of what it does. Two things. Number one, fasting releases a perceived need for a true plea. A perceived need for a true plea. So you go without something, you're like, oh no, I got to get on Instagram. You don't got to get on anything. Okay? I am so hungry, I'm about to die. No, you're not. You're like weeks away from being so hungry, you're about to die. Okay? For a true plea, God, I need you in my workplace. God, I need you to bring my prodigal child home. God, I need you to be in my grandkids' lives. God, I need you to help me with my singlehood. God, I need you to break the chains of this addiction. Do you see? That's a true plea that we're saying, give up a sandwich for salvation. Give up this for that. Give up earth for heaven. Give up that for this. On and on. So it's removing a perceived need for a true plea. Your hunger aches become prayer aches. It's a statement that you're more than a physical being. It elevates the most important things in life above the rest of things. Number two, not just removing food, but adding prayer. Use your gained time as prayer time. If we just willpower our way through the week, because the pastor said to do this, that's not what we're doing. Our gained time shifts to prayer time. So I was going to spend that time scrolling on Instagram or whatever I'm doing. I'm going to take that time. I'm going to pray. I was going to take that time that I was going to cook the meal, prepare the meal, eat the meal. I'm going to take that time and I'm going to pray. Do you see? We're shifting our focus, not just, oh, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. It's instead, it's giving that to be prayer time as well. Now, at the bottom of your listening guide, there's a QR code, and then I'm going to put up on the screen. You can take a picture of it with your phone. We got it on our website. Here's what we're going to do. You ready? Here's what we're going to do. Here's our thing of fasting. You can make it harder if you want. You can make it easier if you want. You can do whatever you want to do. It's not me. This is before you and God. Number one, Monday, we're going to fast from all beverages except water. So if you're a 3 Diet Cokes a day person, Monday's going to be tough for you, okay? You're going to get a headache at about 10 a.m. because your body needs that to keep functioning. If you're a coffee person, you're going to start complaining about 2 o'clock. I wouldn't make any appointments at 2 o'clock, okay? Business owners, you're going to start trying to fire everybody at 2 o'clock because you're so mad. All right. So all beverages except water. We're just doing water tomorrow. And every time we reach for that Coke, we reach for that tea, we reach for that coffee, we reach for that whatever it is. Lord, I just want to give you. Thank you, Lord, that you're better. You're the living water, God. I want to trust you with my life. I want to give you my heart. I'm going to tell you what we're praying for at the end when I tell you how we're doing this. And I'm going to tell you what we're praying for. You're going to lift those things up. Tuesday, we're going to fast from TV. Fast from TV. Netflix counts as TV, okay? Hulu counts as TV. It's called YouTube TV, okay? It counts. Well, it's a streaming package. It's TV, all right? Now, in this streaming, or this from TV, some of you are like, well, good, man, I don't watch TV anyway. Some of you, this is going to be hard. There was an older lady in our church last year, and she said, Pastor, I struggled on the TV one. I said, how'd it go? What happened? She said, well, I stood there before the TV, in front of the TV, had the remote control in my hand. I was like, should I? Should I not? Should I? Should I not? Because it was Jeopardy, double challenge day. I said, well, what'd you do? She said, I watched Jeopardy and prayed for forgiveness. So, amen. You gave it your best shot, right? You found out Jeopardy has a stronghold in your life. 4 o'clock is going to be hard. Fasting from TV. Wednesday, we're going to fast from social media and the internet. I know every job requires email. I understand that. Do your email. We're talking about internet scrolling. We're talking about just internet getting on there. We're talking about this. Can I get an amen from all the families? Your credit cards, bills are coming out. There will be no Amazon Prime orders on that day. Think of all the money we'll save on that day. Isn't that great? It's going to be a great day. We could end world hunger probably if we just gave all that money away. But here we have no social media, no internet. We're just going to stay away from that. We're going to take that time and give it to the Lord. We're spending a lot of time on that. Thursday, we're going to fast from food. We're going to go without food. So you maybe need to change a lunch appointment for Thursday or move it around. Will you do the food one on Wednesday and social media on Thursday, you know, kind of flip-flop and whatever. We're going to fast from food. We're going to basically eat dinner the night before, then wake up that next morning and not eat again until dinner the next night, if that's how you want to do it. 24-hour fasting time to be able to do that, okay? Don't go and get a big shake from Smoothie King and be like, I'm still fasting. No, you're just trying to dumb down those aches is what you're doing, okay? So now, if you have any dietary things, any medical issues, do not do this. If you struggle with an eating disorder, I'm not calling you to a problem here, okay? If this isn't, you don't feel bad. You do what you need to do health-wise. God knows that. But let's jump in and let's go for that. Let those hunger aches turn into prayer aches. Friday, we're going to pay it forward. We're going to do an act of selflessness to prioritize the generosity and humility in our lives. That might be of giving something financially. Great. That might be too easy for you. Maybe serving somewhere. Students, maybe that's the day you say, I'm going to clean my room. And your parents are shocked. And they think Jesus is going to return because you clean the room and clean the kitchen. Okay? There's a lot of ways to do this. You just figure out, pray before the Lord, how can I be a part of helping somebody else? That's what Friday's about. Okay? We're just calling it pay it forward because we all understand that phrase. So Monday, just water. Tuesday, no TV. Wednesday, social media and internet. We're going away from that. Thursday, we're staying away from food. And Friday, we're going to do something kind for somebody else, right? And we're going to do that as a community. And we're going to jump in with that. And we're going to say, let's go for it. Now, here's what I know you did, because you're a human and this is what I do. You have already figured out which days are going to be easy for you and which days are going to be hard for you. Okay? So you maybe need to turn up the dial a little bit and say, hey, I'm going to do this for 2 weeks. I'm going to do this for January. I'm going to do double time on the Monday, just water. Whatever it is, you take this before the Lord, you make it happen. But here's the deal. At some point in your life, if you're going to walk with God, you're going to have to fast. You can't continually feast. Okay? You got to be dependent, not independent. You got to be a part of a community called church and not just autonomous. You do your own thing. There's no Lone Ranger Christians. There's no independent Christians. There's no just feast Christians. Christianity is a call to sacrifice and community and hearing from God. That's what we're signing up for because it brings greater joy in our lives, even as Brian spoke on last week. Now, a couple things just that we're going to do to try to help you. One, night of prayer this Thursday night, January 9th at 7 o'clock here at the Loop campus. We're having a night of prayer. I'm going to be there. I'd love for you to be there. Come and pray with us. It'd be a great time for us to pray together. It'd be awesome. We're going to have devotionals that when you hit that QR code, it's going to send you to 5 days of devotionals. And so we've written a devotional for every day so that you can read about that. And we'll send that to you. You can QR code it. You can do all of that sort of thing. It'll tell you things to pray for. Now, here's the two things I want you to pray for. Okay. Here's the two things. One, for God to do incredible things in our church this year. Unexplainable, amazing, life-changing, incredible things in our church this year. Because we are dependent upon God, we are in community with God, and we are fasting to ask Him to do amazing things. He's been doing amazing things since 1841. It's not going to be the first time. But we just want to say as our people, we want you here, God. We want you here. Every campus, every place, we want you here. And number two, I want you to think of something personal in your life that you need a breakthrough. You need God to really show up. You need somebody in your family to become a Christian, come home to the Lord. You need a breakthrough in your business. I'm not talking about you just make more money this year. You need God to do something in your marriage, in your relationships, in your heart, your mind, whatever it is. I don't know what that is. You're going to have to take that to God. But every time you feel that hunger ache, every time you want to pop on your phone, every time you want to watch a little TV, you say, no, Lord, I'm praying you do great things in our church, Father. Do amazing things in the church. We're just asking for that. And God, I'm praying for a spiritual breakthrough for my son, for my daughter, for my mom, for my dad, for my workplace, for my school, for my own heart, Lord. Break the chains of this addiction. And you just every time are going to that personal thing and that church thing. Do you see it? It's just two prayer requests. You can remember that and go for that. Anna was praying and fasting all the time, day and night, 84 years. Now, she fasted for 84 years? Obviously not. But to be able to have that be a rhythm in her life that was there. And so here's what I ask you, and we're going to land the plane in the message in just a second. not going to ask you to raise your hand, stand up. I don't want an amen. I don't want to clap. I'm just asking you. Will you do this with us? And if not, why not? It's a fair question. Will you go with us as a church this week? 1 week out of 52 weeks in the year, will you wait and worship before the Lord, pray and fast, and say, God, we need you and we want you here? I think you will. And I think you'll be blessed because of it. I don't know what that blessing will be, but you may start fasting tomorrow and God may have a breakthrough for you something on Friday. That'd be awesome. It may be a month from now. It may be 5 years from now. I don't know. I'm not God. I'm just trying to tell you what Anna did and how she moved and how life-changing this is in your life and as it's been in mine as well. Prayer and fasting. Let me just give you a prayer quote. Don't pray for tasks equal to your powers. Pray to be stronger men and women. Don't pray for tasks to be equal to your power. Pray to be stronger men and women, Philip Brooks. Now, let me show you the last thing here with Anna, and we're done. Verse 38. And that very moment, she came up and began to thank God and to speak about him to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. That very moment, I want you to say very moment with me on the count of three. One, two, three. Very moment. That very moment, she came up and began to thank God. So Simeon, this is the way I think it works. Simeon's got baby Jesus in his arms. And at that very moment, Anna's showing up. She's been waiting too, and she sees it. And when she sees him, she tells the world about him. Here's the point I want you to get. Last point of the day. Here it is. Write it down. Our prayer and fasting prepares us for God's timing. Our prayer and fasting prepares us for God's timing. You waiting on the Lord for something? Pray and fast about it. And his timing may be right around the corner. Prayer and fasting. So what are you waiting on him for? What are you asking him for? Our prayer and fasting at that very moment, God had prepared Anna, and here comes Jesus. And it says there that when she saw him, she began to thank God and to speak to him to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Israel. Here's the deal. When you see him, you want to share him. When you see him, you want to share him. And so when we see Jesus for who he is, we share him with others because of what he's done in our life. Give you a last illustration and we'll wrap it up. Waiting on God. We're going to wait on God. Do you know in your life, you're going to spend a lot of time waiting, waiting in lines. You're going to spend 6 months waiting in line over your lifetime. 6 months waiting in line. On hold with customer service, 13 hours annually on average, we wait on hold with customer service. Right? Hearing that pretty music as they tell us how important we are, right? So that's going to be about 43 days over your lifetime. Commuting, 26 minutes is the average American's commute one way to work. So that's annually about 200 hours. Over a 45-year career, this amounts to 375 days to be spent in your life, over a year spent in your life commuting. Waiting for appointments, Americans wait an average of 19 minutes and 16 seconds to see a doctor, assuming one visit per year from ages 18 to 80. This amounts to 14.2 days we spent waiting for a doctor's appointment over a lifetime. They estimate, this is a big spread, but the average person will spend 5 to 10 years waiting in their life. That's going to happen. But let me tell you about a waiting. There was a guy named Noah, and he waited on God as he built a boat. And then the rain, at that very moment, the rain came, and Noah was ready and declared the gospel to his family and to the rest of the world as God brought the rain. Let me tell you about a guy named Abraham and his wife, Sarah. They waited for a long, long time for this little boy named Isaac. This Isaac, sure, they made some mistakes with trying to get Ishmael, but they got Isaac, the promised one that would come, the Messiah. They waited on God and they received Isaac at an old age. Let me tell you about Joseph. He got thrown in prison, falsely accused, thrown in prison, and he waited and he waited and he waited until God brought him to be the second in command of Egypt so that he could give food in the midst of the famine and rescue the people that were there. Let me tell you about Moses. Moses waited on God for 40 years as they wandered through the wilderness with a bunch of complaining people. Let me tell you about a guy named David who was anointed king as a kid, but he had to wait to become king later on, and a whole lot of spears thrown at him by a guy named Saul that didn't want him to become king. Let me tell you about Simeon who waited in the temple, and I just told you about Anna, an old widow lady who committed herself to prayer and fasting and waited and saw Jesus. How amazing is that? Let's wait together. Let's walk together. Let's fast together. Let's let God do something in us. Students, take this mantle. Do this at a young age. And let's see what God can do. And let's just trust him. No matter if he does anything we can see or not, let's just do it because it's right. And let's do it together. Here's what we're going to do, guys. I'm going to pray. We're going to take the Lord's Supper. Because right after talking about fasting, I want the first thing going in your mouth, the first thing on your lips, to be the body and the blood of Christ, symbolized by the bread and the juice. So if you don't have the elements, you can move to the table and get one. If you do, you can prepare it as I pray, as we start with the bread and then move to the wine. To the juice. Sorry, forgot what kind of church I'm in. To the juice. Father, we come in Jesus' name. And we just tell you, God, there is no sandwich better than you. There's no reel on Instagram. There's no Facebook post. There's no TV show. There's no beverage that we want more than we want you. We want you in our lives and in our church. So we come, God, to the Lord's Supper table to taste and see that you're good and to thank you in remembrance for your death, resurrection, and shedding of blood. If you're not a believer in Christ, just watch, just see the gospel, see what Jesus did for you. This is just for believers in Christ to take. But if you're a believer in Christ, prepare the bread side first and listen to this verse of scripture. Matthew 26, verse 26. As they were eating, Jesus took the bread, blessed and broke it, gave it to the disciples, see community, and said, take and eat. This is my body. Church, the body of Christ, broken for you. Let's take this together. Now, if you'll prepare the juice side. Verse 28. For this is my body, or excuse me, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. But I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now until the day I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. Jesus is fasting it until we get there. After singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Christ's blood shed for you and me. Let's take it together. Lord, we're grateful. We're thankful. Do your work. Move in our church, move in our lives. We trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us at one of our four locations, at The Loop, Cypress, Downtown, or Siena. Follow us on social media or visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.